News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, I got a caller that held on during the break, and I certainly appreciate that. So let me jump over there and grab that real quick. Oh, it's Brian from Huntsville. Hey, Brian, how you doing, man?
Doing well. And I was sitting there thinking about the people and the excess of illegals coming over. And I was remembering Fort Bliss, Texas, where my first tank commander, his name was Sergeant Mora. He was not a U.S. citizen, but he was trying to be naturalized. And at that point, I tried to help him towards that test. And at that test, I had the honor of attending, and he passed. He had to swear to the Constitution of the United States. All these other people do not.
Yeah. Yeah,
so,
totally.
At least you got a point of honor in there.
Yeah, I remember, too, there were guys, there were three soldiers in the battalion I was with in Baghdad who were there, and they heard that not only had they enlisted, they would, like be guaranteed citizenship within a few years, but if they went to war, they expedited that process. I was able to find out for them, get a copy of the law, give it to their platoon leader, and they were sort of moved up in line, if you will. But they were doing everything they could to contribute and to be a part, and yes, to uphold and defend the Constitution. You're right.
Yeah, Sergeant Moore and his family, they were good friends to me that entire time. And what can I say? You do something with honor, you're doing it well. You have a good one.
Yeah, man. All right, Brian. Hey, have a great day, too. Yes, indeed. And I agree. And like I said, I've got family members that are naturalized citizens. I've got great friends that, weren't necessarily born here. And I love them, and I'm glad they're here. And I love the fact that we are the shining city on a hill, and that nations around the world, people around the world, still see us as such. But what I don't want to see, what I never want to be a part of, is the group that stood idly by and became the turning point in history where the fall of Rome, if you will, the fall of the U.S., started on our watch. It is great to have immigration. It is great to fill the ranks of our nation to make us the melting pot of the world. I'm good with that. I'm great with that. I love that. It is part of what we are as a people. It's part of what makes us so rowdy, man. It's part of what makes us so tenacious. It's because we have this kind of interwoven fabric of different cultures that blend together and become the one. Not that they come together to be different. They come together to be together. But what I'm saying, though, is you cannot be an effective nation if you don't have control of your borders. There is nothing wrong with immigration. We can fix the immigration system, but the very first thing we have to do is we have to plug the dike. We have to stop the leaks. We have to literally put up a freaking wall. How hard is that? By the way, have you driven down? Charlene laughs at me. We drive down the interstate, and like you're driving through South Carolina, and you look, or Atlanta. And you're looking at all these massive walls that line the interstate so the neighborhoods don't have to hear the sound, as much of the sound of the interstate driving by. And you look at it and go, okay, that thing is 30, 40, 50 feet tall. Why can't we do that on the southern border? Just plant that sucker. It doesn't have to be this massive process. It doesn't have to. I mean, I get it. Government contracting requires that you have the bidding processes and the opportunities for protests and all the things that have to happen in government contracting. But my gosh, it's a freaking wall. People have been building walls since before we had wheels. It's not that hard. The Great Wall of China, have you seen that thing? All I'm saying is we can build a wall. You know what? I thought of this the other day. All the shipping containers in the world, we have so many of them. What if you just started stacking them up? You know how you stack them up? You can see people building houses out of shipping containers. Stack them up, line them up, build a wall. Bam, there it is. Okay, that's there's probably people out there going, oh, Phil, that's overly simplistic. You don't understand. Oh, do I not? Really? What I do understand is this. We have no border. That's enough of that. Let's move on to the next one. I've got this topic here that I wanted to get into, and I'm calling it the left's limits. I call it the left's limits because those of you that have been in the military, especially, you've had many times when you're on the rifle range, and you're told to watch your left and right limits. Scan your lane. That's what you're told. Scan your lane. Check your left and right limits. Ready on the left. Ready on the right. The right is ready. The left is ready. scan your lane. Those are the things you always hear. But the thing you always have to do is you have these big panels that show you your left and right limits. Because what it's telling you is, don't point your weapon further left than the left board, the big zebra stripe sign, or further right than the right. Well, the left wing of culture right now in the United States does not even understand they have limits. And as a result, they've begun to implode. There are places right now where they are eating their own because they are going so far left that they don't even know where left is anymore. So here's just some classics. All right. This is funny to me. And I say that maybe I got a weird sense of humor, but I had this radio show. I get a chance to talk and I find stuff and I think that's just funny. I got to tell people. So here's one. Daily Caller has an article that came out yesterday. Let me read you the headline. Woke employees shut down queer-owned business for being insufficiently woke. Okay, let me read that again. I read it and I go, what? Woke employees shut down a queer-owned business for being insufficiently woke. Okay, Daily Caller, dated yesterday. A cafe in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, permanently closed its doors after the employees protested that the restaurant was perpetrating anti-blackness, ableism, and hostility, according to social media posts from the cafe and its employees. The cafe was called Mina's World, and it was known as Philadelphia's first cafe for, and I'll just say the LGBT, they name all the different things, anyway, for the LGBTQ population or people of the city. It closed, and it was listed for sale due to a lack of funds. The announcement comes after employees of Mina's World, the restaurant, revolted against the ownership, calling themselves victims of his systemic employer oppression and anti-blackness from the owners. And so I'm looking at it and thinking, really? Not only that, but the employees demanded, they say they did it accidentally, but they doxed the owner by posting their address and demanding an accountability statement on social media. They wanted an accountability statement. You tell the world what you did, you not woke enough person. We're shutting down your business. By the way, all of you knuckleheads that were working there, you don't have a job now. Just saying. So I look at this and think, all right, they don't know their left limits anymore. Maybe the left has no limits. Maybe they don't understand what happens when you go outside the limits on the left side of the range. You wind up shooting things you shouldn't shoot. Here's one from more locally. You ready? Yeah, I see it, Copper. I see your message on the board. Was it how many trigger words can you cram in one sentence?
Right.
I mean, sometimes I read these headlines and think, I'm not sure how much more wokeness we can cram into one headline. But you're right. That was classic. How many trigger words are crammed into one sentence? Here's one from right here at home. You ready? AL.com reports yesterday. Irondale counselor blocks police from World Games over Birmingham's trans discrimination ban. Huh. Let me think about what we're doing here. This is one of those situations where you look at it and go, what is happening right now? Well, first of all, congratulations. I will say that to the city of Birmingham. The World Games are kind of a big deal. It's not the Olympics, obviously, but it's still a big deal. And the World Games are in Birmingham, Alabama. And I'm glad. And we have something like 390 athletes from around the world here to compete in various events. So that's nothing but a good revenue generator, bring some notoriety to the city. So I'm glad. The interesting thing is the city of Birmingham is the most liberal bastion in the state of Alabama, and they can't control themselves. And so they needed additional police, so they're contracting with neighboring communities, Irondale being one. And so what they did was they sent the contract. Here's the contract. City of Birmingham will contract with the city of Irondale to pay your police to work overtime with us to help protect the World Games, except that we have a clause in our contract with you that says you have to have a non-discrimination against gender identity policy in your city. Really? Really? That's what has to happen now? Do you not know your left limits? Well, what happened was one city councilwoman said, stop. Cold, hard stop. Said Irondale City Councilor Cindy Quaylar, we are not mandated to do that. That is Birmingham policy. That is not Irondale policy. And so they're going to have to take it up again. But the bottom line is, Quaylar says, someone dressed up as a man or as a woman that is not that biological sex can come and apply for a job and our Irondale Police Department would be mandated to hire them? that's not appropriate for our community. And basically what she's saying is that's a Birmingham policy. Why are they forcing it on us? Why are they forcing it on you? Hey, Birmingham, you need some law enforcement help. Maybe you shouldn't try to inflict all your woke policies from Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin's administration and the liberal members of your city council on your neighboring communities. Maybe you should just, like, I don't know, enforce security for the World Games. How about that? But no, they couldn't contain themselves. Here's one for you. Just kind of interesting. And by the way, I couldn't help but notice the name, Artur Davis. Remember him, Artur Davis? He ran as a Republican and as a Democrat. Artur Davis did. A former executive at Hyundai's, this is AL.com, by the way, dated yesterday. A former executive at Hyundai's Montgomery plant says she was excluded from leadership functions for a four-year period because of her gender and race, according to a complaint filed with the Federal Equal Opportunity Commission. Artur Davis, an attorney for Yvette Gilkey Shuford, said she was previously the top-ranked female and a black executive at the auto factory until her position was terminated last month. She says, among other things, she was terminated after a draft memorandum by employees was forwarded to corporate headquarters without her knowledge, saying that there are things the plant could do better to recognize Pride Month, as well as possible changes to company policy regarding name changes for transgender employees. So what's happening here is a woman who is now filing suit, or actually trying to file suit, she has to go through the EEO process first, that she's trying to file suit against her employer because she believes she was discriminated against for being black. She also believes she's being discriminated against by corporate and the employees because she wasn't woke enough and she didn't recognize Pride Month enough, and apparently she didn't help set the standards for transgenders having their name changes reflected in the Human Resources Department. That's what you're seeing. Left and right limits. They are eating their own right now as we speak. Well, listen, I got more on this. Let's go ahead and go to break right now, Copper. We'll come back from that. And by the way, stay tuned because top of the hour, the Grand Council with my brethren, Dale Jackson and Jeff Poor. That's always fun. Every Thursday at 4 we do it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming up at the top of the hour, you're going to want to stay tuned because right after the news break at 4 o'clock, we come back to the Grand Council. That's when my brethren, Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson, jump on the air with me, and we just kind of ping each other with questions and see where we stand on some of the issues and things that are going on around the nation, around the state. But right now, let me do a little more to wrap up this one I'm doing called Left Limits. Left Limits. Left limits. The analogy that I'm making here is, on a firing range, you are told to watch your left and right limits. Do not point your weapon outside of the left and right limits. Well, the left of our culture right now, the left of politics, the left of social justice warriors, they don't know what it means. They don't recognize their left limits. And they don't understand that what happens is when you go outside of your left limits, that, oh, by the way, you can have consequences. And those consequences can backfire. A little while ago, I gave the analogy that's kind of on a more, small scale, kind of localized issue of the restaurant that was they're eating their own right now. It's a restaurant or a cafe that was designed for the LGBTQ community in, I think it was Boston. And the employees said it wasn't woke enough, and they shut it down. And the place is now permanently closed, out of business. And, oh, by the way, they're all out of a job. What did they think was going to happen? You know, we've got situations like the one that I'm looking at right now. Townhall.com. Townhall.com. Let's talk about taking these things. That was a micro, if you will. And I know it was big to the people who were involved. They lost their restaurant. But that was still a micro in the big picture. But how about when you go to the macro? What happens when liberals don't recognize the impact of the things that they do when they get outside the left limits? Well, Townhall.com reports as of yesterday, the White House is calling for 250,000 tutors to make up for COVID lockdown learning losses that were worsened by Democrats. Huh? So go figure. It says after the Biden administration colluded with teachers' unions to keep the schools closed, and by the way, they admitted it, the White House is apparently waking up to the damage their policies did to the rising generation, and as usual, their solution is even more government intervention. Yes. Yes, it is, because they can't help themselves. Specifically, according to an announcement made by Biden's Education Secretary Miguel Cardona, the Biden administration wants 250,000 new tutors in order to carry out an academic recovery. Now, first of all, I question, are they going to be paid for by federal dollars? And if so, do you have to agree to certain, let's say, woke policies in order to get them or get the money for them? Probably. It says, sounding like firefighters responding to a house that they set ablaze, the Department of Education explained that the Biden-Harris administration announced a series of actions to support students' academic recovery and to ensure recovery efforts are meeting students' parents' and family needs. Well, fellas, you created the emergency. When you shut down the schools and then kept them shut down, I get the 2 weeks to flatten the curve. I get maybe even a little bit after that. At some point, though, it became stupid. At some point, it became literally unions getting the opportunity to keep their people paid without having to go to work. Unbelievable. Unbelievable, some of the gall. Now, luckily, we didn't see too much of the teachers' union fighting for school closures here. We saw some stuff here in Alabama. But in places like New York and Chicago and New York City, in California, wow. Well, Town Hall makes the point. Where was the focus on making sure students and parents and family needs were met when the Biden administration admittedly let Randy Weingarten and the American Federation of Teachers set the CDC's COVID policies for schools? And it went on to say that literally announcing or acknowledging the setback suffered by America's students without accepting any responsibility, they're going to spend who knows how much money to hire 250,000 tutors to try and bring kids up to where they should be anyway. Well, here's one more, and this one infuriates me. Military.com reports that the Army is prepared to cut off more than 60,000 unvaccinated Guard and Reserve soldiers from pay and benefits. 40,000 National Guard and 22,000 Reserve soldiers who refuse to be vaccinated against COVID-19 are no longer allowed to participate in their military duties, also effectively cutting them off from some of their military benefits, meaning if they get their insurance through the Guard, which happens, if they have a possibility of being a member in good standing that gives them a benefit like a GI Bill or a state-level GI Bill scholarship, or some type of a National Guard incentive like a recruiting bonus or a signing bonus or a re-upping bonus. Alabama right now is poised to lose 18% of its National Guard force. 18% of one of the finest uniformed National Guards in the nation. We have an entire Special Forces group, an EOD group. We have an air wing of air refuelers and F-16s. We have all of this here in Alabama. We have two infantry battalions, and we're looking at losing 18% of that force. Unbelievable. All right, folks, stay tuned. We're going to go to the Grand Council with Jeff Poore, Dale Jackson, and me coming up right after the break. Stay tuned.